Hey, WFO Universe, want something for free? Send a self-addressed stamped envelope with plenty of postage, and we'll load it up with free WFO stickers. That's right, I said free. Send your envelope, care of Castello Media, /WFO stickers to P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Do it now.
What's up, guys? Yeah, we just got done here at Darlington, headed back to the airport to go home. Had a slow start for sure. It was nice to, nice to get our Napa Chevy back, driving decent there at the end. Hate we were, so far in left field to start the race, but really proud of the effort. Pit stops were fantastic. The adjustments were really good. Track, kept changing and we were able to kind of keep up with things and finally get caught back up to a decent place there at the end. So, hopefully we have something really good to build off of on Wednesday. I heard that was our best run at Darlington, so that's good. Hopefully Wednesday is a few spots better. Thought NASCAR did a great job executing today, in a safe manner. It was a good atmosphere, in my opinion. I know the lack of people is certainly a weird vibe, but I think from execution and them doing a really good job of keeping everybody safe and trying to execute the first race back was very well done. So, looking forward to Wednesday, like I said. Just excited to be back racing. It was a fun day. It was a fun vibe. I loved the atmosphere and the fact that we didn't practice. I thought it was really cool. I think it had 0% effect on the race winner today. So hopefully we can kind of make this a trend and get back to our roots. It reminded me a lot of short track racing, which I thought was a lot of fun. So looking forward to Wednesday.
Hey everybody, just wanted to give you a little update on our day. It was quite eventful. As you probably noticed, we were pretty terrible to start the race, and I was hanging on for dear life. It's probably the worst car I think I've ever started a race with in my whole entire career. And so kudos to the guys, James and everybody, for making some big adjustments and doing the right things, and got a little hole in the nose we had to fix, and I think that probably hindered us a little bit even at the end of the race. I think the tape was coming back off, but all in all, for 2 months off to get back in and be able to do that was fun. Obviously got to thank everybody who made it happen today, and all the fans that tuned in and all the fans who've been so supportive of our sport going back racing, and obviously all of our sponsors and Bass Pro and Auto Owners and Toyota and TRD and everybody who makes it possible, to be able to go and do that today. It was a lot of fun, and hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Felt like for a while there we maybe were going to have a shot at the win, but had a little bit of trouble on our last pit stop, and then restarted on the inside lane and lost a bunch of spots. So had to pass a bunch of cars at the end there, and which was good. It seemed like any time we could get clear of a guy at the end, we were faster than leaders, so that's definitely promising. I think we learned a lot for Wednesday, and James and I have already been talking on the phone about how we can get better. So all in all, a good day, I guess. Our first top 10 of the year, finally finished one, which is cool. And again, just thanks for everybody for their support and tuning in, and everybody back at the shop for working so hard, and can't wait to get going on Wednesday. So y'all have a good couple days, watch the Xfinity race, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Oh, Steve.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me all right?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and start us off with some opening remarks about today's race?
Well, first of all, I think you've heard it, many times, but sincerely appreciate all the frontline workers, especially in this area, allowing us to come back. Kerry Tharp and his team did a great job. Things actually went smoother than we could have expected, getting all the teams in, and inspection went well. So all in all, really good day for the sport. Excited to be back. Hopefully the fans enjoyed it on television. Surely a little odd not having fans in the stands, but I know that the fans were with us in spirit for sure. I can't hear Matt.
Matt, mirror.
Yeah, yeah. If you have questions, please raise your hand in the window. We're going to start with Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic. Go ahead with your question, Jordan.
Hi, Steve. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but how did things go this morning? Was everything as smooth as you anticipated? And for Wednesday, anything that you have to kind of tweak or change a little bit, or everything stay as is?
I certainly wouldn't say it'll stay as is because you can always learn. But, you know, we've got a meeting tomorrow to download on everything. But from everyone we talked to in the garage area, the entry process went incredibly well. Everybody was here on time. The cars were out and through inspection. The 18 had an issue. But in terms of everybody getting through inspection, the flow working well, the plan working well, I think everybody found their groove, didn't have to tell anyone or remind anyone to wear a mask. I think the industry really came together and did a tremendous job to enable us to get to the race. You know, I think it just felt a little odd with the garage area because it was so scaled down in terms of personnel. But all in all, I thought it went really, really well.
Thank you.
Our next question will go to Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you. Steve, so what now? What are the procedures are you asking drivers and crews to do? And what action will you take if you find out if any have a fever going forward?
Yeah, so what now is the same that's been in place prior to us even going back racing. So this wasn't a let's just show up at Darlington and race once and then we'll figure out a plan. The teams are all aware of what they need to do. Most, if not all, the teams have a road crew that is separate. I talked to Chad Knaus this morning. He has not even been in his shop, hadn't even seen the car till they unloaded today. So the drivers will be in the same boat, self-isolate. They will report, anyone will report any symptoms to us through the roster. We'll be able to track that. And then we'll also have another go-around when we come into the track on Wednesday, when I'm talking about just Cup, to do this all over again and make sure everybody's racing in a safe environment.
And if I can follow, you had everybody fill out forms. You asked if anybody had tested positive for COVID-19. Can you give us any indication of numbers of people who said they have had the disease?
I'd have to check with John Bobo. Not sure about that, Bob, but I know that our doctor at the check-in cleared everybody and was 100% confident we were in a good place to go racing.
Thank you.
Our next question will go to Dustin Long from NBC Sports. Go ahead, Dustin.
Steve. I just want to know if you get a sense of what the vibe was like today. Obviously, this is a work day, so in one sense, I understand it's business as usual, but this wasn't a usual day. And also, I think you had a video earlier just about earlier in the day of Jim France getting on the PA system. Can you kind of talk a little bit more about what he said and why he was there? I guess he's essential as the CEO, but in essence, why he was at the track today?
Yeah, well, I'll address the first one head on. He's our chairman and CEO, and he went to the PA outside of the track, was never in the infield for one sole reason, and that was to thank the entire industry for all the work for getting us where we were together. So I applaud him for doing that. I think it was a big hit in the industry. As far as the vibe in the garage area, I think everybody's spirits were really, really high. They all knew the effort that this took collectively to pull this off. This was not easy, but everybody came together in a real spirit of collaboration. It was odd, just with the limited amount of people here. When you look up in the stands, you certainly miss the fans and that vibe and the energy. Even the music that was playing in the garage area doesn't do it justice, but I think the participants were able to create kind of their own positive vibe, knowing this was a big day for the sport and knowing it was a day that we could showcase the sport to a live television audience and hopefully give some people a little bit of joy to watch them racing.
Thank you.
Our next question will go to Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, you touched on a little bit as far as the oddness, but I was wondering, I mean, was not having the fans the oddest part? What was the one moment where you thought to yourself, wow, this is really different and strange?
That's a good question. I think the first part was just being in the garage after it was open. And you look around when we knew that we had the full capacity from a roster standpoint and how small that looked in terms of the personnel. And then when you got up to race control, you know, there was probably about an hour or so when everything was done. The cars were ready, just waiting for the drivers to come out. Almost an eerie silence, getting ready for the race, certainly built up anticipation. I think we all got up to race control about 45 minutes earlier than usual just because we were ready to go. But I'd say that was the biggest thing, just the lack of fans, but also the excitement that we had once the green flag dropped.
Thanks.
Our next question will be from Phil Orban, WSOC. Go ahead with your question, Phil.
Hey, Steve, you mentioned logistics and the travel crews and things like that. Looking ahead to next week in Charlotte, what advantages are there
you know, with so many teams being so close, and what can you take from Darlington that can help you in Charlotte next week?
Yeah, there was a crew from Charlotte who was here observing kind of the entry process and what was in place. We also took them around prior and showed them kind of what we're doing in the garage area so they could have the appropriate signage and flow of traffic set up. So for us, you know, I'd say both these racetracks were equally important in terms of proximity to the shops. Obviously, Charlotte's, you know, right in the backyard, but this enabled us to put a lot of similar protocols in place. I think Charlotte's going to be ready. We had some of the health officials from Charlotte now here as well observing, and we'll follow up with them certainly post-race. But all the feedback we received from them here was very positive.
Great. Our next question will go to Alex Andreev from the Charlotte Observer. Go ahead, Alex.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I'm curious if you could follow up on what other officials. I understand that there might be some state officials there as well. And so I'm curious how kind of the breakdown is working between NASCAR officials versus state officials at the track.
In terms of from Darlington or Charlotte? Sorry.
For both, I guess. For Darlington first and then for Charlotte next week. Is it South Carolina and North Carolina officials there?
Yeah, there were a minimal amount from South Carolina and from North Carolina. We just had one of the health officials down, you know, to make sure they were observing everything that happened today. We gave them the full plan. We want to make sure that we're in step when we head up to Charlotte as well. So a small amount of folks just mostly observing and helping us out with some of the protocols. And if we can learn and add some things, we certainly want to do that.
Thank you.
Our next question will go to Bruce Martin. Go ahead, Bruce. Okay, we'll go next to Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Steve, there was one point where we heard that you guys had cautioned spotters about their social distancing, about needing more of that. Could you elaborate on what happened there, and were there any other instances of any problems with social distancing or wearing masks with any team members or anybody in the garage?
No, there was not one instance that we saw of anyone not wearing a mask. And I think there were two spotters standing next to each other out of the group. So we asked them just to move apart from each other, and they immediately went with that direction. So all in all, I think it was a great day with the industry going by all the standards we put in place, and very happy with how they conducted themselves throughout the event.
Thanks.
We'll go next to Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Steve, great job today. I know we got one race down in Darlington and two to go, but there's a potential of weather on Tuesday and Wednesday with the tropical storm. I was just wondering if the plan was to try to race this week in Darlington, whether it was Thursday or Friday, or you go back to Charlotte and reevaluate moving forward.
Yeah, I think still too early. You know, we've seen what you've seen, Chris, but we're going to try our best to get both of those in. We would have an extra day or maybe even two on the back end of Darlington to try and get these in. A lot of that will depend, too, on television windows to make sure things are available. But we've got some built-in time, but hopefully we're able to get both races in.
Thank you.
Good deal. And now we'll go to our final question. This will be from Bruce Martin. Go ahead, Bruce.
Finally figured out my unmute button. Steve, congratulations on pulling this off. Not only was NASCAR the focus of the motorsports world today, you had a lot of eyes on you from other sports fans, also from other sports leagues. How much dialogue have you had with anybody from, say, the NBA, Major League Baseball, college sports, about how you guys were the first pioneers to kind of do this and give a little bit of a blueprint on how they may be able to get back to their sports?
Yeah, I think it's been a lot of different folks within NASCAR. I think some of us have, you know, we've talked to the NBA, certainly with IndyCar, World of Outlaws, from a racing standpoint, talked about how we do things, the PGA Tour, we've had conversations with. So a lot of folks just talking about what the best practices could be. We're a little bit unique in how we're able to go racing in terms of race cars, helmets, a lot of that equipment that's already in place, so a little bit of an advantage in terms of our athletes as well, all getting them to one race. So I think everybody was really looking forward to seeing how this works. Anything we can share with other leagues, we want to do that. We certainly wanted to get out and try and showcase our sport early. but it's in our best interest for all sports to be out there. And I think today was a good example of that. I think it was a win for the fans. And Kevin Harvick, I thought his remarks were tremendous at the end of the race and spot on and really representative of our entire NASCAR industry.
Congratulations on blazing a trail.
Thanks, sir.
Well, Steve, thanks for taking the time to join us today. And thanks again for all you do, and good luck.
Thank you guys for being patient with us. I know this is a little different, but appreciate you covering the sport and taking the time today. So thanks. Thanks very much.
Hey guys, Kurt Busch.
Kurt Busch, today's third place finisher in the Real Heroes 400. Kurt, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Why don't you run through your run out there in the first race back?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Wow, this was a great feeling to be able to have such a good car with a good team at Chip Ganassi Racing and to be out there with no fans, but yet I could feel them all the way through the television cameras out there racing hard and just trying to put on a good show. And I think we were a third place car with the Monster Energy Chevy. We were a little tight to start the race, and that pace that Kevin Harvick had for the first 10 laps was tough to beat. And Bowman was really quick, you know, his setup, like from Fontana, helped him here today. We had a really good run at Fontana. And so to dance with the lady in black, I'll take a third place finish. It was great to be out there and to race 200 miles an hour and to feel G-forces again and to have a day where I was out there working and being part of a team. And so again, just thanks to Matt McCall and everybody making good adjustments, and felt good all the way through with good teamwork.
Good deal. We're going to open the floor up for questions. We're going to start. Our first question will be from Bob Pockus. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Kurt, you mentioned no fans there. What was it like, you know, walking to your car prior to the race without fans and then kind of hanging out there for a few minutes with pretty much no one around you?
Yeah, there was, you know, those times when you look in the grandstands and yet when you see an empty seat, you feel a set of eyeballs that are coming through the camera lens. And so, you know, I knew that Fox was going to do a tremendous job to broadcast our race and to have as many people feel like they were there today. And that's the way I approached the race was, you know, even just walking down pit road, crew members with masks on, you like halfway don't recognize anybody until I got to my number one guys. And, you know, that was our core group. We went into battle today together. And we brought home a nice top five finish. Even had a chance to try to push for the lead. But, you know, pit stops were solid. Adjustments were good. We just didn't have enough. But, again, it's a privilege to be out there racing in a situation like this. And so thank you, NASCAR, for getting everything together. And we'll be back on Wednesday. And we always make fun of ourselves in a Monday meeting afterwards where, oh, man, if you're going back there tomorrow, what would you do? This is that moment. So I'm happy that we're going to jump in on some digital meetings and head back here on Wednesday.
Good deal. Our next question will come from Nate Ryan. Go ahead, Nate.
Actually, my hand's not up, Matt. Sorry.
10-4. We will go next to Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Kurt, another strong day for the Chevys. It seems like as a whole, what we saw earlier in the season kind of carried over or picked right up. You feel pretty confident at this point going forward in these next few races that Chevy cars are going to perform well?
Yeah, I believe we've improved our Camaro tremendously. You know, Hendrick has done what I would call a fuzz step better than us at Ganassi. And we're, you know, right in that box to be able to be in the top five. Now we've got to cross over and lead some laps and be consistent on pit road. But all in all, you know, from the way our day started, buried 22nd off of the pill draw, we're going to be buried again back in the mid-pack for when the race starts Wednesday. And, man, just Matt McCall did a really good job. And so it's a balance of Hendrick, our engines, you know, the chassis from Ganassi, and then the body with Chevrolet, everybody helping out, you know. Good to get good to get back out there.
Thanks.
Good deal. Our next question will come from Will Kunkel. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, Kurt. When we talked earlier this week, you admitted you were a little nervous to getting in the car for that first time, that first lap. What were those nerves like? And did Ricky's wreck in a way kind of help you and everyone else probably settle down just a little bit?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, the feelings, the nerves, the anxiety, the excitement, knowing, you know, we were in uncharted territory. And, you know, I didn't know who spun, didn't know who had trouble, but everybody did a really good job of settling in, even on the next few restarts, to race the racetrack. You have to do that here at Darlington. So I would call today a success all the way around.
Great. Our next question will come from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, Kurt, I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the atmosphere when you got here today amongst your fellow drivers, or in particular, your the Ganassi team. Just there seemed to be a great sense of people just kind of sort of relief, maybe, of being back to work.
Yeah, I felt a whole different vibe today versus Atlanta. And it was great to see everybody working from the Goodyear side, the Sunoco side, the inspectors. Today had a really good vibe all the way around, and people were smart and had a good distance between each other and respect for what we had to do to perform. And just the electric atmosphere again of something so new and something so uncharted that once we dropped the green flag, you got to zone in and focus on Darlington. But really a special time today around 3:30 to go get belted in and to do something we've never done as a sport.
You know, our next question will go to Dustin Long from NBC Sports. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. A couple quick questions. Kurt, what does today mean for Chip Ganassi Racing, both cars top 10, and your thoughts first off on, in regards to Matt getting a top 10, his first race back since 2018?
Yeah, that was awesome. When I got out of the car in the infield, they have an old school pylon of where the top 10 finishers are with their car number. And there's old Matt Kenseth, number 42, finishing 10th. That's what he will do every day, all racetracks. I mean, it's just, that's Matt. That's what he does. So for him to balance out with Chad Johnston, Ganassi, and everybody first day out to get a top 10, that's huge. That sets a big tone. I've yet to be able to call Chip Ganassi or Rob Kaufman, but I'll be calling Matt Kenseth on my way home. It's really a neat day for us to bounce back like that. And I mean, for us to back up what we did at Fontana with a top five run, let's keep this train rolling.
And also, Kurt, you referenced because of the invert, you'll have to start further back Wednesday night. Almost, it's about 100 fewer miles. What's the challenge in trying to work your way up with a little bit less time Wednesday night?
Today we went from, I think, 12th to 4th on one of our pit stops. It was amazing. And then we went from 6th to 10th. And so the pit crew has a huge responsibility at this racetrack. And today's runs weren't very long. It was very weird that a 400-mile race didn't have much more than a 40-lap run. And the way that the stages are set up for Wednesday, we could have a very, very long run in the stages. So we'll see how things play out. Our car was really good, I think, on the long run, but we have to make adjustments to battle hard for a race win.
Thank you.
Okay, we had a question come in from Jerry Jordan, who did not have a microphone working, but he would like to ask, what kind of statement does this make about NASCAR and its perseverance to ensure that racing got back?
You know, what a tremendous effort, the collaborative effort from everybody, from the NASCAR side, the officials, the team owners, the drivers, you know, our television broadcast partners, the radio, everybody had to reach out of the normal and reach out of the box and do it with common sense, to do it through all of these Zoom and Skype and team viewer exercises, you know, through the phone. Through the computers, what a job. I'm very proud of the effort we put forth today, you know, to put things aside. You know, this is a privilege to go out there and race cars at 200 miles an hour and to have a job during this pandemic. I've got a great sponsor with Monster Energy, great manufacturer with Chevrolet. Thank you to all of them and everybody at Chip Ganassi Racing. I'm over the moon right now. It was really exciting to race. And we missed our race fans not being in the grandstands, but we felt you through the TV and we felt you through the radio.
Great. We're going to take one more question for Kurt and let you go. That question will come from Zach Sterniello from the Pocono Record. Go ahead with your question, Zach.
Thanks, guys. Kirk, congrats on third here. Would you change anything personally to how you approach Wednesday? Not necessarily on the track, but off of it.
For me, we'll see how my body feels tomorrow. But hydration, stretching. You know, I felt like coming to the track 4 hours before the race start was a bit much, but I really enjoyed my time here in the motorhome and in my own self-isolation and that zone to focus in, because we didn't know what was coming our way. And so I don't know what to change. I mean, I'm going to have all my gear where I'm going to be washing everything, sanitizing it, and rolling back out to pit road on Wednesday with my driver bag and hop back in the number one Monster Energy Chevy for hopefully a chance to win.
Thanks.
Well, Kurt, congratulations on the run today. Good luck again on Wednesday at the track Too Tough to Tame, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Alex Bowman.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing really well. Our runner-up for today's Real Heroes 400 at Darlington Raceway. Go ahead and tell us about your run out there, Alex, and what it was like to be back behind the wheel of a real race car.
Yeah, it was great to be back. Obviously a little different, but felt really good to get back in the car. Really, we're really strong on short runs right off the bat. Just got tight as the runs went on. Freed it up quite a bit throughout the first two-thirds of the race, and it got the car pretty good. Then I kind of leaned on the wall a little bit and hurt us there at the end. But just a little bit off. I felt like I didn't do a great job of knowing what I needed to be able to beat the four there on long runs at the end. I felt like if I could have gotten in front of them on the short run, I could have held them off with clean air. But I didn't really know I could get the car free right on the wall or get it tight by turning down off the wall a little bit. And I didn't really know which direction to go on that last change. So I got to do a little better job there. But really happy with everybody at Hendrick Motorsports and ChevyGoods.com and NOCO. To come off of a little mini off season there and have four cars that were all really strong and have a good solid day like that, it means a lot, and can't wait to get back here on Wednesday.
Outstanding. We're going to open the floor to questions here. We're going to start with Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations on your anything you could have done on that restart, you know, short of wrecking Harvick to take the lead.
Yeah, I don't know. Not be on the inside is really the only thing. I feel like watching it back, I could have been really aggressive and cut the corner into one a little bit and maybe cleared him. I was already pretty aggressive with that. And maybe I could have acted like I was just going to clear myself and got him to lift. But if he doesn't lift, we both crash. And then down in 3 and 4, I just got really loose under him. He did a good job of getting on my door and taking some side force away. So that's tough. You're racing one of the best in the business at one of the most technical hard racetracks we go to. So just to have the opportunity to race him and to get to race him hard and clean like that was a lot of fun.
And any added confidence going into day having signed your new contract on this past week?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously not having to talk about 2021 anymore and just focus on task at hand and going and contending for a championship is really good. So got to thank Mr. Hendrick and everybody at HMS. Obviously my career has changed significantly since coming over to HMS, and they gave me a big break, and I'm very appreciative for that. So really enjoying it. Glad to have that squared away and just ready to go try to win some more races.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic. Go ahead, Jordan.
Alex, wondering, what can you take away from this race on the racetrack that you can apply on Wednesday? Could you even bring the same car if you'd wanted to because you guys ran so well?
I don't know if you could bring the same car or not. I did get the wall a little bit, so they'd have to probably put at least a new right rear quarter panel on it. That gets pretty tricky on trying to turn stuff around. So I don't think we'll bring the same car. Fairly certain that we'll bring a different car, but everybody at HMS does a really good job of getting all our cars extremely close. And I think we can take what we ran, have a pretty good idea of some adjustments that we couldn't do on pit road, but I felt like would really help what I needed in the race car there to be a little better on long runs and and help me in some areas. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think we have a good game plan for it, and obviously our cars are really strong right now.
Great. Our next question will come from Alan Cavana with Fox Sports. Go ahead with your question, Alan.
Hey, Alex, what's it like for you at some of these tracks where you're out front, you know, for the first time maybe in your career, have these fast race cars at a track like Darlington? Are you learning new things about yourself, about what you're able to do? Is it surprising?
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely found myself in some situations that I haven't been in, you know, over the last couple of years as our race cars have gotten stronger. So I feel like I'm learning a lot. It was really interesting trying to prepare for this race. I spent the day yesterday at my shop, and I felt like I was doing something wrong all day, and there was something that I needed to be doing different to prepare more. But if I didn't go to my shop, I was just going to sit at home all day and do nothing. So I hung out and cleaned my shop by myself all day. But it's just been really interesting to be in different situations and learn from them, as well as learn what I can do off the racetrack to better prepare myself. So I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot with the off the racetrack stuff. And it's definitely been a big improvement here lately. So very appreciative of that, and all the help that Josh Wise has been on that. And then the on track stuff, I feel like I'm learning every time out, and there's some restarts that I wish I would have gotten a little better, and things I wish I would have done a little differently. But at the same time, I didn't make any big mistakes today. And you know, definitely things that I can improve on, but it was a good solid day.
You mentioned Josh Wise. You talked about your fast last week. Is fasting mental, or is that a physical thing? You know, is it about mental strength or physical strength?
I think it's definitely about both. Josh does a really good job of doing mental things without telling us that we're doing mental things with all the drivers that he works with. So it's been pretty interesting to kind of catch on to some of the things he's doing sometimes, but it also kind of resets your body in the way that it burns food. So it was interesting to do. That's the second time I've done one. We did one going into California, and we won there. So maybe I run well if I don't eat on Monday and Tuesday of race week. But no, I think it's been good. He has single-handedly improved my life on and off the racetrack quite a bit. So definitely appreciative for his help.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next question will come from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim. Jim Utter, can you hear us, my friend?
Oh, no.
Okay. We're going to go next to Doug Turnbull. Go ahead, Doug.
There we go. Unmuted. Hey, Alex, Doug Turnbull for WSB and PRN. This may be more in the minutia. We've talked so much on the racetrack, but to me, it blows me away how much you guys normally are so connected with your PR people, the managers, the people that get you from place to place. So even though this is a one-day show, I saw some talk before the race about drivers having to do certain things by themselves they hadn't had to. How did you coordinate both before the race and even trying to get this Zoom conference set up afterwards by yourself in your motorhome?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, I ran Cup for a couple of years really without a full-time PR person. We kind of split somebody at BK, and then at Tommy, I just did my own thing. So it's definitely interesting coming down here. The whole thing was way different than normal. But I feel like everybody at HMS did a really good job kind of making it easy on me, at least. Kind of just got texts and had calendar things set up for when I needed to do whatever, and it was pretty easy to do. So appreciative for the hard work that goes into that, because I'm sure it wasn't easy for everybody else to figure it out and to set it up and to tell me what I needed to do. But really all I had to do was look at my phone and know what to do. So getting here 4 hours before the green flag and sitting in my bus all day and doing nothing was really, really weird. Not being at the racetrack yesterday was really, really weird. But as far as everything that that Kelsey and everybody from HMS had me do, it was all pretty self-explanatory and easy.
Thank you.
We're going to go next to Jeff Gluck. Go ahead with your question, Jeff.
You know, I think there was some questions as to, like, could the Hendrick drivers pick up where you guys left off? I mean, you, the last intermediate track, kicked everybody's butt, and it was like, okay, now with this long layoff, did everybody catch up? Are they still going to be as strong? And then it seemed like you guys still had that speed there today. Is your level of confidence just soaring right now? I mean, coming up with these races doesn't seem like – I mean, yeah, you certainly have some competition. Harvick on the long runs was faster, but you have to feel pretty good, I'm assuming, right now.
Yeah, I felt great just the way we started the season, especially unloading in Las Vegas. I think we saw that our race cars were going to be really strong. And to continue that over after we got shut down and firing everything back up, and to continue the strength that we had means a lot. You know, I think it was an interesting time period, right? Because guys couldn't really be in their shops developing new stuff. You weren't allowed to be in the wind tunnel and simulators and all that stuff. But everybody's still at home working on their notebooks and trying to piece together what they can do to make their race cars better. So in a sense, it didn't really give people maybe the complete opportunity to catch up, but it at least gave them some opportunity. And I think for everybody at HMS to stay on top of things and improve our race cars, you know, I think we didn't just come back with what we had in Vegas and Fontana. I think we came back with something better. You know, we need to keep working on it because everybody around us is constantly getting better as well.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take one more question here for Alex, and it'll come from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead with your question, Jacob.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. And Alex, congratulations on the runner-up. Kind of two parts here. You know, what kind of a statement do you feel like today was for Hendrick as a whole? And with Wednesday really coming right on the heels of the run today, do you feel like the teams that showed well today will likely show well again Wednesday night?
Yeah, I think definitely the teams that were good today are going to be good on Wednesday night. The track's going to be a little different, probably a little more rubbered up. Hopefully the rain stays away. So it's definitely going to be different, and the invert and everything is going to be quite a bit different. But, you know, I think the guys that were good are going to be good again. The invert might help some guys get in clean air that we didn't see this week, but it'll be interesting to see. What was the first part of your question? You broke up a little bit.
Okay. Just what was today, as far as I know, you know, William and Jimmy had the issues, but all in all, it seemed like today was really a statement for all of you guys at Hendrick.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like all the intermediates this season have been a big statement for us. You know, the 9 was probably the best car in Vegas. We had a great car in Fontana, and then to come here and have 4 really fast cars, it's awesome. It's really different than how we started the season the last 2 years. I feel like our cars went, just the biggest thing is when we're off a little bit, we're not running 20th anymore. You know, if we have a bad run, we fall back to 8th. So I think that shows a lot about the strength of HMS right now, and we're just going to keep gaining on it.
Okay, Alex, well, congratulations on the run today. It was good to see you back on the racetrack, and good luck on Wednesday night.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good to see you. Have a good one.
Good deal. We are joined now by today's race-winning crew chief, and that's Rodney Childers in the number 4 Busch Light Ford for Stuart Haas Racing. Rodney, walk us through your race today from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good day for us. You know, we had a good car off the truck, you know, and we were able to roll through tech first this morning and able to roll it straight to the grid and relax and just think about the race and what the racetrack was going to do over time and the things that we needed to be prepared for and that kind of thing. And, you know, we had a good car at the beginning of the race. We fought being a little bit too tight, and we had to free it up for a while and got it pretty good through the middle of the race. You know, the guys on pit road, you know, we're awesome all day. We had great pit stops, and we had one slip up and got us back there in traffic for one run. But Kevin was able to, you know, fight back through there just a little bit, and then we were able to have another couple pit stops and cautions that the guys were able to knock it out of the park and get us back in the lead. And that was really key to get us back in clean air and track position and have control of the race.
Okay, we're going to start off the questions from the floor with Jeff Gluck. Go ahead with your question, Jeff.
Hey, Rodney. I'm wondering, you know, there was a lot of speculation on what teams could really do. Obviously, you know, you couldn't go in the wind tunnel and stuff like that, but certainly you guys were working on your computers at home, trying to think up ideas. How much development do you think really went on? Like, you know, did Hendrick get better? Did you guys get better? Was everybody getting better this whole time? How much was of a pause was there really?
I mean, all I can do is judge off of what we did. And like you said, you know, our place was probably more strict than what I wanted to see. You know, they shut the whole place down. And as you probably saw, when I posted it one day, it was 52 days I sat at home and didn't go to the shop. And, you know, this car was actually our homestead car from earlier in the year. It was ready to load and go to homestead. As y'all know, we work pretty far ahead. You know, Atlanta car was on the truck headed to Atlanta, actually sitting in the garage, and the homestead car was done. It was set up, you know, everything was done about it. So when we went back to work, you know, Zippy could probably tell you I wore him out because I kept telling him that we weren't going to get things done. With how strict they were being on us and the shifts that we were working, and you know, it was my shop foreman and three guys in the shop working, and from me sitting at home, I can't see at the shop what's happening. All I can do is picture in my head that we've got a shop foreman and three guys there trying to prepare a car to get it ready to race, and I'm used to having 20 guys in the shop and we work 12 hours a day. And he's got three guys along with him, and they're only allowed to work 6 hours a day. But finally, you know, 52 days later, I got to go by the shop and see the car. And honestly, I felt 100% better. Those guys, I have such a great group at the shop that work hard. Dale Fishline has been around forever and ever and ever. And, you know, no matter what car he's the shop foreman on, it wins races. And, you know, I think a lot of this is part of him and the guys that he's assembled at the shop and the guys that he trusts. And, you know, that's the biggest thing that I saw out this weekend.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Deb Williams. Go ahead, Deb.
Rodney, you were talking about being in communication with with Zippy during that time. When did you finally get by the shop to see it, and what was it that you saw that made you feel better?
I guess it was like Wednesday of last week. You know, I think from the beginning, Zippy told us, he's like, look, you know, I don't want you around all the people. I want to make sure our crew chiefs are healthy and stay that way. And we'll work out a time where you can come by the shop for 2 hours a week and you can at least put your eyes on it and feel better about it. And that's really what we did. And, you know, last Wednesday I was able to do that and you know, just feel better about it. And, you know, it's been interesting to learn through this process what tools are out there. You know, Microsoft Teams, we've wore it out, you know, with all of our meetings with myself and my three engineers. We're on it all the time and working together, and just, you know, those guys work really hard on the setups and, you know, figuring out, you know, what bump stops and what shocks and what ride heights and all those things that matter. You know, we have wore the computer out on that stuff, and you know, they do a good job. They always do. And that was a big key in today for sure.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead with your question, Bob.
Yeah, Rodney, did you say something on the radio that you might try to use this car on Wednesday? And how realistic is that?
I definitely think it's realistic. You know, we were fortunate enough not to tear it up. You know, we rolled through the OSS a minute ago, and honestly, it looks really good. You know, the center of the back bumper at the bottom's pushed in a little bit from the restarts and getting the bump drafts on the restarts. But other than that, it's not bad. We got a little bit of right rear damage from hitting the wall. But, you know, that stuff's nothing compared to what it could have been. You know, we got great fabricators that can flip it around and put new crush panels in it and have it ready to go. We haven't officially decided. I was just on my phone texting with Old Man and Dale Fishline, and just, you know, we got one sitting there ready to go. The motor's in it. It's supposed to go to the chassis dyno in the morning. But, you know, I don't know. It's a two-edged sword. You can either take the one that's sitting there and hope that you get the packer exactly right and the bars, you know, the bar preload set exactly right and all those little things, or you could just, you know, put some crush panels in this one, make the body wear to pass the OSS and put the same springs, same rounds, same sway bar, same drop links and same, you know, bump stops packer and go start the race and have some confidence in what you got.
And are there any procedures that you'd like to see changed for either Wednesday or for next week?
No. I honestly have been completely blown away through this process. I just said this to Claire on Sirius XM. You know, same thing. You know, when you're sitting at home, you don't realize what's happening at the shop. You don't realize what's happening at NASCAR. You don't realize who's working on what the procedures are. You know, how is it going to flow? You know, even this morning on the way to the racetrack, I'm like, man, this could be a complete mess trying to get in the racetrack when I get there. So, you know, I get to the racetrack and everything is just absolutely seamless, you know, pulling in and the way that it was, you know, it was, you know, operated outside the racetrack coming in, and the amount of detail that was in all that, I was kind of blown away by. And then as I'm going through the tunnel, I'm like, all right, here's the next part. How bad is tech going to be with just me and Cheddar and an engineer and an interior guy? And, you know, we unloaded off the truck. Everybody worked together, the teams, the officials, everybody respected each other and you know, did everything that they were asked to do. And you know, that's the part that it just blew me away today, that everybody just did what they were supposed to do. You know, most of the time that doesn't happen. And, you know, it's impressive that everything went the way that it did. And, you know, as far as the procedures, I don't know what they really could have done any better. The only thing that's ever going to be any better is to you know, keep working on this virus and keep getting the, you know, the United States, you know, more healthy and get our fans back in the stands one day and keep racing the way we are.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Peter Strada. Go ahead, Peter.
Yes, Rodney, you guys obviously had a major advantage today with pit stall number one. On Wednesday, obviously having a different pit stall, how will that change strategy?
Wednesday, we'll have the same pit stall.
All right, thank you.
Great. Our next question will come from Jim Utter. Go ahead with your question, Jim.
Yes, Rodney, you guys started off early in the season, didn't finish worse than ninth. You came in the points leader through the two-month break. Did you feel like today kind of capped what you had already shown as potential through the first four races of the season?
Well, that's one thing I talked about a lot with the guys, you know, is just we don't necessarily have to go out there and win every race. We just need to keep doing what we're doing and keep knocking out top fives and top tens. And, you know, it's easy to say top tens, but that's not really the goal either. It needs to be top fives. And, you know, we were able to do that today. But I think, you know, these situations – have always been good for us. I think unloading off the truck is something that my group does a really good job at. And, you know, I told the guys, I was like, you know, we need to take advantage of this over the next month and do the best that we can, because, you know, if you look back through history, our stats of unloading off the truck faster are pretty good. So, that's the things that we need to do. We don't need to let people have time to catch up, whether it be practice or whatever. So, you know, we strive to be the best when we get here and unload, and you know, it's not always going to be that way. Lord, everybody goes through swings, and there's going to be one of these weeks in the next, you know, seven races that we miss it big time and have to make big changes. So, you know, today was a good day. We learned a lot last year when we were here. We did a lot of things wrong, but we learned a lot, and we came back here with a different mindset and did a great job today.
Great. Our next question will come from Zach Sterniolo from the Pocono Record. Go ahead with your question, Zach.
Hi, Rodney. Would you change anything about your personal approach for Wednesday's race, whether it's when you left the house or just kind of the mental preparation of actually going through your whatever kind of routine you can build under the circumstances?
No, I mean, honestly, you know, the last 2 days, I really tried to spend more time with my family and just do things to try to ease my mind. If you sit there in front of that computer for 8 hours a day and never stand up, finally it just wears on you. And then you end up second guessing everything that's in your mind, everything that you do. You know, and we were still talking about changing bump stops, you know, 2 nights ago. And because of a report and all this stuff. And I'm like, look, you know, you guys are the best. We just need to stick with what we thought was right and go with our gut and leave it alone. And that's what we ended up doing, was just deciding 3 nights ago we were going to leave it alone. And we finished it up on Wednesday, and it was loaded in the truck Thursday morning. It didn't stay around in the shop with somebody tinkering on it till Saturday at lunchtime. It was loaded up early, and we went with what we thought was right.
Thanks very much, and congrats again.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, our final question is going to come from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead with your question, Jacob.
There we go. Rodney, first off, congratulations. Second, with this race being shorter than, you know, traditionally the 500 miles that you guys run for the Southern 500, did that have any effect on how you guys played strategy today? And with Wednesday night basically being a sprint race, more or less, will that change what you guys have normally taken as the approach here?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I think Wednesday night's going to be a little tough on us starting back there. You know, our best case scenario is to have a lot of cautions and the pit crew knock it out of the park like they did today. And, you know, if you can knock out 12.5 stops every time you come down pit road, you're going to end up there toward the front by the end of the race. But, you know, the thing that I probably noticed the most today was just how, you know, we kept firing tires on it. And we had a 400-mile race and 12 sets of tires. And honestly, I can't imagine showing up and not having 12 sets of tires. That would have been I would have had a heart attack at some point, I believe. But, you know, I think, you know, the night race, you know, looking at the weather, it's supposed to be a lot cooler on Wednesday. So things are going to be completely different. You know, the cars are probably going to turn a lot better. Everybody's going to have more tape on the grill, all those things. They're going to be faster. Normally when they're faster, it's almost harder to pass. So, you know, I think the track position thing will be key, just like it was today. And, but overall, you got to have a car that's good, turns good, has good drive off and doesn't eat the tires up. And, hopefully we can do that again on Wednesday night.
Rodney, congratulations on the victory. Good luck on Wednesday night. Safe travels to you. Look forward to seeing you then.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care now. Kevin Harvick, congratulations on winning today's Real Heroes 400 at Darlington. We can see you now. That's great. Congratulations on the victory. Walk us through how you were able to accomplish that today in NASCAR's first race back.
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to do is just thank everybody from NASCAR, all the teams and the whole industry for getting us back on the racetrack. I think everybody in this garage is so excited to be here. I was up at 6 o'clock pacing around my porch this morning, you know, trying to decide when I was going to leave. So I was excited to get back in the car. Today was just a well-executed day. We were fortunate to, you know, we had the first pit stall, kept our track position all day, and were able to, you know, have a good Busch Light Ford and have good restarts and do everything we needed to do to keep our track position. And in the end, that was the key for us. We had a fast car, but staying out front was the key to the equation.
Good deal. We will open the floor up for questions. Again, if you have a question for Kevin, go ahead and hit the participants button and raise your hand. We'll try to get to as many of you as possible. We're going to start with Alan Cavana from Fox Sports. Go ahead with your question, Alan. Okay, we will go next to Doug Turnbull with PRN. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, thank you, Matt. Kevin, Doug Turnbull from PRN. I guess that we've asked other people this. What was the weirdest part of the day for you? Was it coming to the track and having nothing to do, or was it just the no fans being there, or no handlers, or having to race without practice or qualifying?
The weirdest part of the day for me was getting out of the car and not hearing anybody cheering. You know, I think as you look at that, the part in the car was really not that much, because you know, when the engines are running and things are running, it's, you know, you're just in your own little world in the car. I've been around the steel for a long time. This is not like anything I've ever experienced, but I can tell you that it's very similar to, you know, coming back after 9/11. But that day had, you know, just 100,000 fans in the stands, and now you have no fans. So the practice and in the car part are something that we can all figure out. The part of not having any fans in the infield for me, that kind of took some of that enthusiasm of the win away, just because of the fact that you weren't able to celebrate with the crowd. And so for me, that was really awkward, because I feed off of that stuff and enjoy those types of moments. And, you know, for me, didn't really know what to say after the race, because it's just such a unique situation that we're in.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next question will come from Deb Williams. Go ahead, Deb.
Hi, Kevin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This was your 50th Cup career victory today, and that ties you with NASCAR Hall of Fame members Junior Johnson and Ned Jarrett. Could you please talk about what that means to you?
Well, when you say those two names, obviously they're a huge part of us who helped build this sport, and obviously Hall of Famers. And it's, you know, it's just an honor to have your name next to them. So, you know, for me, it's a little bit surreal, I guess you'd say, because of the fact that I don't really like it things. But, you know, it would be disrespectful to not give those guys credit for what they do and, you know, what a huge honor it is to have my name sitting next to them. So I've been fortunate, you know, especially since I've come to Stewart Haas Racing. This was 27 wins together with this group of guys. And I think that experience today, you know, going into our seventh year here, has really paid off, you know, in getting our car right, making adjustments on our car, you know, rebounding from the adversity of a bad pit stop, and all the things that came with the day turned into a race winning day. And that says a lot about the experience of our team, the depth that we have, you know, with everything that Gene and Tony give us. It's just been a lot of fun to drive fast race cars, and you know, to have your name next to those guys goes to show you how fortunate I am to be able to ride in those fast race cars, and we've been able to capitalize on a few.
Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Kind of following up on that, Kevin, I know you don't always like to talk about your legacy and everything, but when you get to this milestone of 50 wins and you look at your career at the totality of it, where do you look at it? Where do you rank yourself among, you know, it, the place in history?
Look, I just want to have a good impact on the sport. I may not have thought about that in the first 25 wins. Probably need to back up a few wins before that, because I think for me, going to Stewart Haas Racing, you know, I kind of had a new approach in how I wanted to represent myself. Kids has really changed, you know, the way that you want to be presenting yourself. And so, look, you know, I've been on a number of different sides of this sport. I've been on the ownership side of it. I've been in trouble. I've been the good guy. I've been the bad guy. You know, I've driven, you know, for RCR and now Stewart Haas Racing. So, you know, I've got to experience a lot of things. I don't even, I mean, it's really hard to define legacy until it's over, right? So, you know, I think you're still writing the book of you know, what you want to do and how you want things to go going forward. I know for me, it's, you know, it's super focused on competition and doing exactly what we did today. And that's winning races and putting yourself in a position to win a championship. So, you know, I feel like, you know, definitely been able to have a part in the sport, and you know, it just makes people to have a part in the sport. And, you know, I think my ownership days really allowed me to kind of, you know, diversify how you think about things and how you approach things and, you know, from the sponsorship side and how you relate to the team and how you understand people. But I thrive on, you know, communicating with people and being around people and trying to make things different, better, whatever the case may be going forward. So as far as the legacy goes, I don't know how you determine that until you're done.
Thanks.
Good deal. Before we go to our next question, Kevin, your bandwidth is slightly low and it's causing a little bit of a lag, but I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Well, hey, here's the deal. I just operate off of the NASCAR Wi-Fi.
Okie dokie. Good deal. Okay, we'll see how Jim Utter fares here. We'll go next to Jim Utter. Go ahead with your question, Jim.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I was just wondering, Kevin, if you could talk a little bit. You touched on it earlier about how you found the atmosphere when you got to the track today as far as people that you saw in person, whether it was teammates or officials or other team members. Was there a sort of a sense of relief that or excitement that the sport had started back up? Because it's one thing to talk about it and another to actually see it happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody's excited about being back, but there's still that awkwardness of, you know, not wanting to screw anything up. So we didn't really want to communicate closely or, you know, do anything that might look wrong. Because I think today's message was really important to be able to make sure it was sent correctly. So, I know everybody, you know, we've all talked about it before we got in the car today, just about how excited we are, you know, to be back at the racetrack and be able to, even if we're just talking to each other on the radio, at least we're at the racetrack performing and doing what we love to do.
Good deal. Our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead with your question, Bob.
Yeah, Kevin, what was Victory Lane like?
Awkward. Usually you get out of the car and the crowd's screaming and yelling and react to your emotions and you know, stay out of the car. You know, it was like, well, I don't really know what to do here. You know, it's a situation that you've got Regan over there from Fox. You know, he's 6 feet away. He's a masked man. I didn't know if I was supposed to put a mask on and talk to him. I know they had a 6 foot boom mic that you were talking to. So there was just that sense of awkwardness until we get this all situated of exactly what we're supposed to do. And then we got done, everybody left. And I'm like, okay, well, the procedure said to drive to Victory Lane. So I got back in my car and drove to Victory Lane. And there were two photographers there. No team guys. You know, I was able to kind of give my team guys a nice little, elbow bump there as I left Victory Lane and tell them great job. But, you know, those guys didn't even get a chance to take a picture with their car. So, you know, just a lot of sacrifices that go into it. But, you know, in the end, in the big picture of things, being able to do what we did today, and that's race, is what everybody wants to do.
Okay, our next question will come from Scott Chansey. Go ahead with your question, Scott. Okay, we'll move on. Davey Sigal. Go ahead, Davey, your question.
I'm back.
Go ahead with the question, please.
Sorry about that. Hey, Kevin, congratulations on the win. You've obviously had the old guys rule moniker, and that's been a thing of yours, and that paid dividends today. I'm curious as to what you thought of Matt Kenseth's performance, earning a top 10 today in his first start with the package and at a tough racetrack of all places. I know you reached around him a little bit today, but what did you think of him?
Send the question to Matt Humphrey.
Okay, thank you.
You know, here's the thing about Matt Kenseth. He should have never quit.
Matt Kenseth was winning races when he retired. So, you know, I think as you look at that whole situation of when he got kind of moved out of Gibbs, Matt Kenseth is going to be a huge part of that race team and making Chip Ganassi Racing better. He's going to be great for the sponsors. And, you know, I think as you look at that, I mean, experience and skill, you know, go a long way in our sport. So if you have those two things like Matt does, you're going to be successful and you don't just forget how to do that. So Matt's a pro and, you know, a very good one at that.
Thank you.
We're going to try one more time with Scott Chansey with the Florence Morning News. Go ahead with your question, Scott.
Kevin, how important was the teamwork in the pits in today's win?
I mean, track position was really the thing that gives you gave us the opportunity to win today. And, you know, I think the first pit stall and our guys rebounding from the little hiccup they had on pit road, making adjustments on the car, doing everything. I mean, when you look at a win like this today, this is an organizational win because you have to have your car dialed in when you get here in order to win a race like this. And our guys have just done a great job of putting all the pieces together. And you know, today we're able to capitalize on that and win a race.
Good deal. Our next question will be from Bruce Martin. Go ahead with your question, Bruce.
Congratulations. There were a lot of people on social media today that had not watched NASCAR races regularly. There were even some who admitted they had never seen a NASCAR race. They really liked what they saw today. So how big of an opportunity do you think this is for the sport to showcase what you guys were able to do it the right way, and maybe gain some new fans?
Well, it's definitely a unique opportunity that I'm, you know, at least we can put ourselves in front of people to let them make a decision whether they like NASCAR or not. And, you know, I think as you learn about our sport, it's a great family sport with a lot of blue collar people that are just like the people that probably tuned in for the first time today. So there's not many more normal people than what you'll see in this garage. And there's not many people that many other sports that do more than the NASCAR world does. When you look at the Real Heroes 400 and all the doctors on the car today and the way that this event went with people coming in and out of the garage and how the infield was set up. There's a lot of people that put a lot of effort into this, and I'm glad it went the way that it went. And I hope, you know, people who watched for the first time liked what they saw. And obviously this is a very unique racetrack here at Darlington, but in the end, it's just having that opportunity to present yourself to new people, and hopefully you can make a lot of new fans as you go forward.
And I guess with the circumstances as they were, you'll always remember win number 50.
Yeah, it was different, you know, and part of what drives me and part of the enjoyment that I have is seeing the excitement that comes from those guys on my team in Victory Lane. I get more excited to see them excited than I do actually about winning the race. So today was really, really awkward for me because I thrive off of the enthusiasm from the crowd, but I also love to see the emotion come out of the guys on my race team and celebrate that with them. So that part for me was a little bit tough.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Okay, our final question will come from Andrew Curland. Go ahead with your question, Andrew.
Kev, drivers describe Darlington as one of the more physically demanding tracks. And normally you have a full week to recover, but you're going back racing on Wednesday. Does that change how you recover from a race? And what do you normally do to recover from a NASCAR race like today at Darlington?
Well, we have been off for you know, 9 or 10 weeks, so we should be pretty fresh, you know, from the you know, the physical standpoint. You know, for me, I've been working hard to make sure I was, you know, as in good a shape as I've been in a long time. Coming back, you know, not even knowing what the schedule was, but just wanted to be better. And you know, I think as you look at that, you know, really just the biggest thing is 300 miles for us is a short race. You know, and I think as you look at the weather being at night, it's going to be fairly cool. The 600 miles the next week will be the one that you really, really have to pay attention to as far as, you know, what you do. But hydration is the key for me, and keeping up, you know, tomorrow I'll go and I'll go exercise with Keelan and do a little, you know, some recovery stuff. But, you know, for the most part, it, you know, it's really about making sure that you put enough fluids back in your body.
Thank you.
Kevin, I do have one more question, and it comes from Holly Kane. Holly, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Congratulations, Kevin. I'll make it real quick. I just wondered if you could speak about you guys have so many races in a short amount of time. What kind of a positive send-off is this for you to get this win going into this compressed schedule that you're going to have?
Well, it's the first win of the year, so obviously that's good for our playoff chances, and it takes a little bit of pressure off on that standpoint. But, you know, I think at this point, you know, we took a drastically different approach coming to Darlington this time than we did last time, and I think obviously that paid off for us. And, you know, going into the week next week, we know how important track position is, so being buried in the field to start the race, you're just really going to have to, you know, take care of your car and do the things that you need to do to try to make up that track position. But, you know, having that first pit stall again is definitely going to be beneficial for us in making that ground up and obviously, you know, 100 miles shorter. So, you know, nighttime will be a little bit different, but in the end, it's still the same old Darlington.
Thank you, Kevin.
Good deal, Kevin. Congratulations again, and thanks for the show today, and good luck on Wednesday night.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care.
This is WFO Radio.